Welcome to Dead Man's Party. Nostalgic reviews from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. With your hosts, Chris, Alex, and the Ghoul. Who could ask for more? Don't run away, it's only them.
Dead Man's Party is back, and this time we're going to kindergarten. My name is Al, and I love my car.
And I'm with the guy who knows that boys have a penis and girls have a vagina.
Chris, what's up, Chris?
Good morning, party pooper.
And we're also with the guy whose dad is a real sex machine, the Ghoul. What's up, Pat?
I'm a cop, you idiot!
Oh, this movie, This must be where they got all like those like clips from when people do those prank call soundboards.
Years ago, I heard one of those. Wait, that was even before YouTube. I heard one of those prank calls where they only used clips from this movie.
It has to be, right?
It was fucking hysterical, man. Holy shit. Because when I was watching this movie, those quotes were just jumping out at me because I'd heard them so many times.
Well, he says them in such a clean, isolated way.
Yeah, right. Good morning. it sets it up perfectly. Just like that. Oh, I remember those. Yeah, on like fucking that website, E-Bombs World and stuff, you would find all those.
Yep.
Awesome.
Pat, do you remember when I did that fake conversation, like that fake interview with Arnold?
Yeah, oh my God. that was so long ago.
Yeah, that was like 11 years ago, and I used probably this soundboard, the same old soundboard.
I'm going to have to find that show again after this and re-listen to it.
I know. Maybe I should put it in here, but it was, I think I'd do better these days. Maybe I'll do a new one. Like when we do like another Arnold movie, I'll be prepared for that.
Oh, hell yeah.
But yeah, we're talking about Kindergarten Cop 2 with Dolph Lundgren. Oh, no, no, we're not. Oh, it's not like the Predator situation. No, this time we're doing the one Arnold was in. We're doing Kindergarten Cop 1990. We love 1990 movies. Director Ivan Reitman, writer Murray Salem, Herschel Weingrod, and Timothy Harris. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Penelope Ann Miller, who was Joyce, Pamela Reed, Phoebe. Oh, that teacher, that principal, Linda Hunt, Miss Schwalski, she looks like she crawled out of that Troll movie. You ever see that movie Troll?
I know what it is, but I've never actually watched it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, she looks like someone from the Munchkin Land or something that grew up.
Do you know how old she was in this movie?
Oh,
did
God.
You look at her age?
No, but I saw if she was alive or not. She's still alive.
Just guess. How old would you say she was?
34.
No, be serious. How old would you say she is looking at her?
55.
She was 44.
Holy shit.
She looks like she's 68 to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, mid-60s.
Well, I was being generous.
And she's 4'9". I looked it up.
She's funny, though. She's a hot shit in this movie. She's, like, got some, like, just the way she reacts to something is really funny.
Yeah, she's cool. I wonder how Joseph Cousins is doing these days, Dominic. Who, of course, it's another situation where he's a twin. His brother, Christian Cousins, also played Dominic in this movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do that a lot with kids. And now you guys all recognize Richard Portnow, right? Captain Salazar. He was for 5 seconds at the beginning of the movie. He gave them their assignments. Any Howard Stern fan should really know who that is.
I'm drawing a blank. Who is it?
He's Howard's father in Private Parts.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
I told you not to be stupid, you moron.
I just watched that 2 weeks ago.
For those of you, you're not going to hear it this way, but we decided to do a Richard Tyson weekend. So random, right? Like, so he's Crisp, and he's also the dude from 3 o'clock High, the bully. So,
and both of these movies have someone who has hypoglycemia.
Oh,
what? Damn it. What are the fucking odds of that? Is that something that was in Richard Tyson's contract? He will only be in movies if someone has hypoglycemia.
I remember that from 3 o'clock High, but then as soon as she said it in Kindergarten Cop, I was like, boom, no. I was like, that's amazing.
I don't know if I've ever seen another movie in my life other than these two where that comes up. And for us to do these on the same day is fucking bananas.
How does that happen?
Dude, it's the shows you...
It's another one of your fucking weird coincidences.
Yeah.
That is... when I heard that, my jaw dropped. I was like, there's no way she just said that.
I know, dude.
And they're both Richard... We just wanted to do a Richard Tyson gag. We didn't mean to do that. Like, really weird. Oh, the one person, Zach's mother, Jane Brooke. You guys know who she is. What famous movie she's in, right?
Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead, yeah.
Where she looks like she's chewing her face.
She's a total bitch in that movie.
You got, what's his name? One of the little kids. The kid from West Coast. Nightmare, Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary,
Nico Hughes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a head shorter than everyone else in this movie.
It's really funny.
Yeah. They're like, I don't care, he's talented.
Oh, he's talented. He was reciting those lines like a motherfucker, man. He was a good little actor.
That's the thing, like, coming up later, I would say, like, a lot of these kid actors that they got are... some of the shit they say is absolute fucking gold. Oh, my God.
Am I the only one who thought that one little girl looked like Drew Barrymore?
But the one who, I'm not a policeman, I'm a princess,
yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see where you're talking, yeah, absolutely.
I just messed with my wife, I was like, that's Drew Barrymore. And she's like, no, it's not. This is 1990. Kindergarten Cop, this movie is out of this world. So, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, huge career. He was obviously known as an action star. He was Conan, he was Terminator, he was... Predator. He's a badass, basically. He's like the biggest action star ever, really. He wanted to just change it up and just do something else. Like, he didn't want to be a one-trick pony. People always kind of like just want to get away, you know, like they do horror podcasts for 12 years and just want to do something else. So he did that. Ivan Reitman, he actually, because the only other thing that was even close to this was Twins.
Right.
And that was an Ivan Reitman film. And those two were, you know, we have two decent movies here, and then we go to Junior, which...
Oh, God.
I don't even know if I made it all the way through that. But, yeah, so Arnold's my favorite guy. I think that's the only movie I don't own of his. Junior, and I think Red Sonja. And I owned Red Sonja, and I threw it out.
Red Sonja, I just watched that, like, 2 years ago. That's a strange movie.
Oh, it's awful.
How could it be that bad?
I know this is like offshoot here, but like Bridget Nielsen's supposed to be the star of that, but it becomes an Arnold movie most of the like. It was really funny.
Yeah, they're in the middle of the movie. They're like, we have to rethink who's the star here.
Yeah, right.
I don't know who said she is. So Arnold, right before, you know, actually during the filming of this, they were prepping for Terminator 2 to the point where Arnold left for a day to go to L.A. and shoot that teaser. Remember that teaser for T2 where they were just building all the T-800s? You remember that, Pat, where they just kept building them, the showing the faces, then all of a sudden they pan over to Arnold and he looks up.
Absolutely.
And he has the red eyes. If you look in that, he has much longer hair and lighter hair than he does as the Terminator.
Yeah, okay.
And that's because this. Yeah.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's why it's a little off. It's all Hollywood. So how do you guys feel seeing Arnold out of, like, the badass tough guy role? How do you feel he did throwing him into, like, a situation like this?
I thought he pulled it off good, but I've always been a huge fan of Twins. I think he's fantastic in that movie. I think his line delivery is good. His comedic timing is good in that movie. He's good at showing like emotion and heart, and I think even though I don't like this movie nearly as much as Twins, I still think his performance in this movie was good. He's good at playing just like a quote unquote normal guy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's nice to see him like because like I guess you would say that this is like kind of half a drama too, I guess to a degree.
Right.
But it's like he really does like pull. It's kind of like how we were saying with. Tango and Cash, how Stallone kind of tried to be that, but he just didn't know the movie that he was in, whereas Schwarzenegger knows the movie that he's in this one, but it's definitely still played very tonally serious, and he, like, it's amazing, like, because even now, nowadays, when he made his comeback, he's kind of doing way more serious movies than ever, and he's actually really fucking good at it, so here's, like, where it kind of all began. It's awesome.
Yeah, I guess let's get into it. Kindergarten Cop. So, this was the Ghoul's pick. First of all, what made you pick this movie?
Well, because I originally picked Predator, but me and you were on the same wavelength as
summer,
like,
movies.
Seasonal things. Yeah, so save that, which is the better thing. And then just realizing that I was like, oh, you got, you know, I kind of wanted to switch it up genre-wise, so that's why I just went with, let's, like, kind of do comedy, because then I kind of had 3 o'clock High on the back burner, like, ready to go.
Oh, and we came up with the Richard Tyson thing, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. So how do you guys feel about how Arnold starts this movie off? It starts off in a mall, and he looks out of this world creepy with his hair and this fucking beard.
Those sunglasses.
Sunglasses, a trench coat. Is he trying to blend in and look inconspicuous? Because he's doing the exact opposite.
Yeah, he looks like a cartoon character come to life.
Oh my god.
And then I think they wanted to really play up the contrast of him before and after being a kindergarten teacher or whatever, but it's like, it almost, like, spells totally unrealistic to me, like, in the sense that there's no way that that guy is capable of anything he did in this movie with these kids.
Right. The first 10 minutes of the movie, I was like, am I watching the right fucking movie here? Like, because it was almost like Terminator shit.
Right, yeah.
I had only seen this one time going into this, and I remembered nothing. So the way this movie starts really threw me for a curveball.
I always forget about the mall part, and I always think of it as just like, I always thought the beginning was him finding, like, on the potty poop. I always thought it was that. And I just rewatched this like 2 years ago, so not even that long ago, and I still forget about the opening part.
Everybody does, and it's weird because I always forget, but then getting into it this time around, I remember to remember. And I was like, because, you know, now I'm looking at it in like a different lens and to review it, and I was just thinking, like, there's no way that that guy is the same guy in the rest of the movie, but then... But even, yeah, like, even, like, when he delivers his lines on the potty and just, like, shooting couches with people who are just sitting in it and stuff like that, and everything he does, it just seems like there's no way he could be a normal person. Like, his whole life, and it seems like his whole life is his job. Like, it's so funny because they're so, like, one-dimensional, except for his partner in this movie, Phoebe, who, like, is now one-dimensional in a different way. Like, it's all about food and throwing up. Like, you know, like, remember how annoying we thought the guy in Halloween Resurrection was because all he talked about was food every time he was on screen?
Oh, my God.
This girl takes it to a whole new level. I mean, if she doesn't say the word dinner in every scene she's in, then I'm just like, I don't know. It is bizarre, though. The whole point of this is that Crisp, Richard Tyson, is looking for his ex-wife and his son. They ran away. He lied and said they took $3 million so that people would kind of be on his side and then think they'll get a taste of it if he finds them or something. So he goes to the mall. I don't know how he thinks Crisp is even in there, but Crisp is meeting these two, like, floozy druggies, and they're going to give him information. And they say that your son is in Astoria. Did you guys recognize when they were driving through Astoria what it looks like?
No.
No.
Did it make you feel very familiar? That's the town in Goonies.
Well, I know town in Goonies is called Astoria. Is that where they shot? Did they shoot it the same place?
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that.
I want to make a point about those two druggies in the beginning. When they're like, all right, you got to ask him for at least 1,000. And so he goes and offers 1,000. And then Chris looks at him and he immediately lowballs. Like, he's like, all right, 750. We'll
750.
Like, yeah, all right, maybe, like, I don't know, 300 is fine. He immediately, just out of fear, just lowballs, like, doesn't even try.
I really kind of like that character, that kid, because he's so funny.
Yeah, it's like someone's like just like sleazy's doing anything for money, but just like has no backbone.
He reminded me of like a character on Sons of Anarchy or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like a prospect or something.
Yeah.
It was so funny. So then he tells Crisp all this information, and as a thank you, he gets shot in the chest.
Which is, I made a note, obviously he doesn't know that she's hiding in the box. I was like, he could have just paid him the measly $300, and this movie doesn't happen. The only reason why he gets caught is because she was a witness to his thing. I was like, he just didn't shoot this guy. All he has to do is just give this like junkie $300 to get his fix.
Right.
And then this movie is over. It doesn't happen.
Like, for a guy who's willing to pay four times what a race car track is worth, he's not willing to pay a guy $300 for this really pertinent information.
Right, exactly. Like,
really weird. And so what is Crisp? Is he like some drug kingpin or something? Like, and the mom is something? Like, what is he exactly? They have money, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of lost in like the first 15 minutes of this movie. I was like, what is going on here? I didn't quite understand what they were building up to. He looks like a combination of Terry Silver from Karate Kid and Gino from Out for Justice with that fucking hair.
That fucking grandmother, though. Oh, my God. Just, first of all, what is their relationship?
Oh,
things. This is weird. Like, I don't know what's going on there. But
there's
like
one part where he blew smoke in her face while he kissed her.
Yeah. But yeah, like their whole relationship is so weird. But yeah, it's like seems like one of those she seems like she's like a mob like wife, but like she's like running the show because like her husband who probably ran the thing is a thing, and then he would be the son, and it's just drugs and stuff is what I put into it. Obviously we don't get that information, but the vibe I get is that she's running the show behind the scenes and he's kind of just like the street guy. But yeah, I don't know, they don't really explicitly state it, so.
No, you gotta put it together, I guess. So Arnold, like, you know, sees the scene of the crime, he handcuffs her to the dead body, and then he just knows, he finds Crisp in a beauty parlor getting his nails done, and again, that beard, they do a close-up of his beard at this point, it is so
creepy.
Dude,
it's so fake.
Yeah, dude, just grow a beard for 3 weeks, it's not that hard.
You can see, like, the seam going down his face where it's like glued on. So they're probably like, we'll just slap this fake beard on him, you know, for these few days that we shoot this. It doesn't look real.
Right. No.
That's probably why. Yeah. I think growing up when I first, or like when I watched this, like more often, I was like, I don't, cause you never used to seeing him with a beard until now, really.
Right. Yeah. It's weird that now like every time people get old, they always grow beards and they never stop. Like Ben Affleck, Eminem, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wait, Eminem has a beard now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's had one for years.
Oh, shit.
He clearly colors it, too, because it's, like, really dark.
Wow. Yeah, he must have gray. He must be, he's 50 now, right?
And I was going to say, he's at least 50, yes.
She refuses to pick Crisp out of the lineup.
How about Richard Tyson's hair when he's being?
Oh yeah, yeah.
When he's in that lineup, dude, it is out of fucking control.
He lets his hair down to throw her off.
It's ridiculous.
He looks so sleazy, and he's like all sweaty and shit. Yeah. And like that fucking crazy shirt that he's wearing, he just looks like a total like sleazeball. It's awesome.
Oh yeah, total sleazeball. So when Arnold goes to that club. You know, he goes to the black guys and he's like, he pulls the gun out on them. He's like, I love my car. And he goes, oh, we'll watch it for a man. As soon as he walks away, that motherfucker, he's looking at him, kick his ass. Right. Everyone's so tough as soon as the guy leaves.
Yep.
So when Arnold goes to the club, that, like, I don't know what he is, like, Hawaiian guy or whatever he is, who he says, you can't come in here. And then Arnold kicks the gate and he goes through a plate of glass on the wall somehow. That guy's Quintero from Hard to Kill. He's one of the guys who killed Steven Seagal's wife.
Shit. It's like, okay. Again, yeah, so long since I saw that, but when I eventually pay $50 for that Blu-ray, I will definitely call it.
Hey, you brought it up.
Well, yeah, we didn't
let it ride for a little while, but
yeah, we didn't want to run that into the ground and have you walk off the show or anything.
Oh, it's going, I love it. It's going right to the fucking ground. Ride it till the wheels fall off, baby.
So he shoots up the nightclub, and he badgers her into fingering Crisp.
A Also generous of you to call this a nightclub.
I know, it is disgusting.
It is a shithole. But I love this kind of stuff in these movies. Like, that, those kind of places are awesome. It looks like it's something out of, like, a adult Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Like, it's yeah, awesome.
It's just like that place.
Yeah, the Shredder's little palace for children.
Yeah, I love it because I'd never go there, so I like to explore these places through film because I'm like, right, it's safe. So Crisp is arrested. So we meet O'Hara, this redhead partner who's, like we said, hypoglycemic or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And I wrote, she's just like Jerry from 3 o'clock High. So they're on a plane and they're going to Astoria and these kids keep on bumping into the back of Arnold's seat. It is so funny, dude. It's like so annoying. And it's just the precursor to what his life is going to be. And we see the first hint of him handling children.
Yeah, the look on the kid's face when he snaps the pencil is absolutely amazing. He's just like absolutely horrified.
One part we skipped over when Arnold, I think they're at the police station, and he says, mind if I talk to my friend for a little bit? And he grabs Richard Tyson and just blasts him through that door yeah, into the interrogation room. Like, it legit looked like he took him and just, like, fucking threw him like a rag doll through that door.
And I love when he goes, man, you've been chasing me for years. What has it ever gotten you? You'll still be eating takeout when that dump of yours, and I'll be...
He kind of quotes, like, it's like a Batman Joker thing. He's like, you're nothing without me. Like, without me, you wouldn't
You're right. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. It seems like that's the case, though. Like, Schwarzenegger's got nothing going on.
Nothing. I'll be out of here in a week, and you'll still... Yeah, and I love Tyson's delivery. He really is... We got to watch more movies with him. Has he done anything besides these two movies?
He's in something... There's Something About Mary for a quick scene.
Yeah, and then he's in Black Hawk Down, but I mean...
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, but I didn't realize this because me and one of my buddies were talking about it the other day because we were having the same discussion. I'm like, whatever happened, like, he looks like he should have had, like, a bigger career, but then it just, like, fizzled right out, kind of. But yeah, he's in Black Hawk Down along with all the other awesome people that are in that movie, so...
Yeah, that's a good movie. I haven't seen that in a long fucking time, though, man.
That's been a while, but yeah, he pops up in there.
Well, I know where he is. Look, cool. He's podcasting right now. He's wearing a black hat. He grew a gray beard. Look at him. That's Richard Tyson.
I wish I was that fucking tough.
Yeah, but you look just like Richard Tyson in a weird way.
Thank you.
You just need like a bigger, wider jawline or something. But you're almost there.
I'll put on about 20 lbs.
So, O'Hara gets sick from a burrito or something from Illegal Pete's. She's endlessly throwing up. I kind of hate the "I'm sick and gotta throw up 100 times" gag.
I was going to say, when I was watching it, I was like, how long are they going to drag this out? It was like, wasn't it like 4 or 5 different locations or scenes where she was puking?
Yeah.
You know, I can see a couple times maybe, but they kept fucking doing it.
It was like the one at the gas station was funny because then you hear her yelling. She's like, the key! I need the key! And you're just like, there's probably chaos going on in there. But like, you could have cut out that and then the one when she trips and falls over and he has to like pick her up like a kid and put her in the car.
Right. How great would it have been if she pulled a Wyatt and then opened the bathroom stall and puked on a guy who's sitting there taking a shit?
Well, goddamn!
So, I'm sorry, why didn't he take her to the hospital after, like, the 10th fucking puke for, like, IV treatment? Like, she should be so dehydrated, she would have died, and she would have died in her sleep or something. Like, dude... You can't just take someone who threw up 10 times or more, God only knows what they didn't show us, and put her to sleep.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's like, you could be like a husk of a human being after that.
This is what I have in my notes. Now she's puking off a bridge. Now she's in the back seat and a ferret crawls out of Arnold's bag. What am I watching here? He gets the woman out of the back seat and kicks the car door shut. Too bad the ferret wasn't trying to climb out the door and got cut in half.
Wow. That's dark, dude. That's their mascot.
It was just... But the whole ferret thing was fucking bizarre. But it did serve a purpose in the end, which we will get to. Unlike the fucking dog in Out for Justice, who had no meaning to the story, and they just shoehorned that in, this ferret actually comes to fruition.
It's a Chekhov's ferret. you know?
Yeah. So what do you think? Arnold cleans up nice, huh? He shaves, he cuts his hair, sort of. He wears something nice. How was he completely ready to kindergarten teach that day? Like, why would he have a suit? Why wouldn't he dress just like he did in the mall? Like, shouldn't he only have those clothes? Like, why would he be ready to dress nice in a hotel room in the middle of the night? They show up and he's ready by the next morning. He knows everything. He has a criteria. It's like,
right.
Dude.
Yeah. I just love the fact that he was going to wear his holster to kindergarten. I'm like, as soon as you take the jacket off, people are going to see that you got a gun. Like, you're not going to keep that thing on all day.
He thought he might need it for the kids.
On second thought, take the gun.
Yeah, so the reason they had to do the puke gag 100 times is to really drive home the point that she will not be available to teach these kids.
Right.
Anybody else in real life, they would have been like, hi, yeah, you have to tell that woman to come back, and it might take 3 more days, then she could do her leave of absence or something. Right, we'll need a substitute, whatever. Arnold himself would have never actually went there and done this. So he replaces a teacher of 25 years experience. Yeah, one thing I wrote in the notes is that principal, I thought she was from Poltergeist and has, like, these gnarly teeth. Did you see her teeth?
Yeah, they're very goblinish.
It looks like she like gnaws on stone or something. It's really weird.
The only thing I can say for sure I ever saw that woman in. Did you all ever see the Popeye with Robin Williams?
Yeah, but 30 years ago.
Okay, see, I've seen it like 50 times, and she's in that movie, so that's all I know her from.
So we get to the kids, and we get to the famous line. Boys have a penis and girls have a vagina.
Thanks for the tip.
You're welcome for the tip. Here's another tip. Oh, no, we're not doing Point Break. Sorry. The surfers, they rub it on their board for traction.
Sex wax.
Yeah, sex wax. Is that what the kid was talking about? How they wax girls? Nah, never mind.
Yeah, right there.
So, we'll blend all these movies together. Sex wax. So that girl who kind of looks like Drew Barrymore, she says that she has to go to the bathroom and it's hard to take her clothes off. So he goes to have someone else do it. And then he says, he almost says, I'll be back to her.
I didn't even think of that. Oh.
He says, I'll be right back. But I was like, why didn't he just say, I'll be back?
Did you all ever have a male teacher in grade school? I never did. Until I was like 13 or 14. It just wasn't really a thing back then.
Yeah, no, well, the parents even say that in this movie. They're like, a male teacher for kindergarten? Like,
you must be gay.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. No, I never had I didn't have any male teachers until I got to high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, they think he's a perv. It's like, guys, relax. So the kids go absolutely insane, and he does the whole, shut up!
Oh, that was so funny when he screamed that. I have that in my notes. He screamed, shut up.
Some of the shit these kids are doing while he's gone, though, is absolutely hysterical.
Dude, that fucking little boy's looking up those girls' dresses and shit. I was like, whoa, what the fuck?
Way to go, kid.
They would never show that now.
Oh, absolutely not. But, that was the one that got me. I was like, he's just looking at 3 different girls dressed up.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Oh, my God. So he brings the ferret into class to be the mascot. Just pet him one at a time, okay? And then all of a sudden, 12 seconds later, there's like 8 hands on him at once.
The kid says, what happened to your dog?
This isn't a dog. It's a ferret. What's a ferret? This is a ferret.
And then they make it a point to say, he's like, they're like, oh, like, if he bites you, you could get rabies. And like, no, he doesn't bite. Like, cluing in, like, oh, he doesn't bite until...
He only bites crisp.
So Dominic tells him that everyone's better than him. This teacher, that teacher.
What a fucking asshole that Dominic is.
He is an asshole. He eventually, lightens up, I guess. But he's such a douche in the beginning.
Yeah, he's, such a little prick.
Arnold gets back to the motel, collapses in the bed. Yeah, the women of the town, they think he's gay. Then you got this kid, Sylvester, who's obsessed with playing with dolls. And, the mom says this is a problem.
Did you recognize who plays his mom? I don't know if either of you would recognize her.
I know her from Raging Bull.
Yeah, Robert, right.
That's all I know her from.
I did not know she was in this movie. When she popped up, I was like, oh, holy shit.
I recognize her voice from a sex hotline I called one time.
She does have those voices.
All the moms are, like, freaking out about Arnold. So they're like, oh, I don't want him to see me without my makeup and blah, blah, blah. I know this is the wrong people to be asking this, but is he a good-looking guy? I mean, I know he's big and jacked and muscular, but, like, his face, would you think women would look at him just in the face and be like, oh, he is fucking hot? He just looks, you know, not that he looks like a mongoloid, but...
I think everything put together is good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like a whole...
Yeah, the whole
pack. Everything complements each other, yeah.
Because you look at someone like Stallone back in his heyday, like Rambo or something like that. Like, he's obviously a good-looking dude. But Arnold, he's got a very unique face.
And he's like a statue.
Yeah, it's just like... I don't know, it's weird. I just always thought that was bizarre, other than his physique, that women would, like, lose their shit over him.
Yeah. No, I see where you're coming from.
It's being 6'2", 250 pounds, muscle, big, strong jawline. He's like you said, he cleans up nice. I think, and, like, there are movies he looks good in, like in True Lies. Like, there are scenes where he's, like, in a tux, dancing with Tia Carrere and stuff. Yeah, and, yeah, there are times he could look good.
You know that whole story that came out that he fathered a kid with their nanny several years ago? Did you ever see a picture of that woman?
Oh, she's horrendous.
She's hideous. Yeah. She's hideous.
She looks like a troll.
I remember when I saw her, I was like, he got seduced by that. He must have not been getting any pussy at home.
How did this conversation start is what I want to know.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because I think that because he's still the one thing that I like that came about him in real life is that he's a very like he's still been like a wholesome guy. Like he's never been like one of these people kind of like Stallone where you hear like later on like rumors on set that he has like rules where people can't look at him. He's not no one's allowed to talk to him. Right. Like Schwarzenegger's always just been like a stand up guy. And like in a tone to that kid, he's still like a father to that kid, which is awesome. And I think that kid actually looks more like him than his kids he had with Maria Shriver. I'm not even kidding. I'm pretty sure they do, yeah.
Did you see the shape his kids and Maria Shriver are in, the boy?
Yeah, you sent me a picture one time.
Yeah. One of them was in a movie I watched a couple years ago, a horror movie. He's not a bad actor. Like, they got the trait from him, so.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, this sex hotline mom is relieved to hear that he's using dolls not to play with, but to look up girls' dress. She's like, oh, thank God.
I have that exact line in my notes. Oh, that's a relief.
Yeah.
I love it's like that he like they try and paint her as like the red herring as in like the oh, is this the one? And but then she drops the ball like, well, Sylvester's father left us for another man. And he's just like, all right, I'll take your name off my list.
Oh my God. Yeah, so hard. And then he was like, he tells this other lady, and she's like, wow, that's horrible. Oh my God. Yeah, this movie is funny, man. Yeah, this kid is eating everyone's lunches. Was this Steven Seagal as a kid?
all your lunches? That kid is just fucking going to town.
He just fucking drops them. It's like...
Oh my God. Then we get to, it's not a tumor!
Would you say that's the most famous line from this movie? It has to be, right? It's not a tumor.
I think who is your daddy and what does he do might be up there.
Okay.
Or girls have a penis, boys have a vagina, or the other way around. Yeah.
I guess there's a lot. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
there's a lot. It is very quotable. Yeah, so we got the twins saying their dad's a real sex machine, which is bizarre.
Again. That would not fly today. Nope. A child saying that line of dialogue.
Well, even like some of the responses they have from the who is your daddy and what does he do segment are fucking gold. Like the first one, it's a girl saying this. My daddy repairs cars driven by women who are pinheads. Like another thing you can never get kids say. Like the fucking. Then there's that one kid who has like a really dark answer. He's like, my dad hasn't been the same since the crash. What? And then I have another one is. the tumor kid, he's like, my dad doesn't live with us. He drives a taxi in New York, and my mom hopes he's going to die real soon.
And the one kid says, my dad watches TV all day long. And I thought, oh, that's the kid I never had, because that's all I fucking do.
That's what he would say about you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
And then Miko Hughes, tying into his little pervert character, he's like, my dad's a gynecologist, and he just looks at vaginas all day long.
I wonder what kind of sex life Miko grew up to have.
Have you seen what he looks like now?
Oh, yeah.
He's ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just...
I just saw him in a documentary within the last year or two. He looks good.
Yeah, he was just in a... he just did a, like, very well-funded fan film.
That fan film, I watched it,
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
That was cool. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, good for that kid. He's in great shape.
I'm looking at him right now. Oh, wow.
Yeah, kids like that, you expect, like, the child star, like, one-off.
And he's got this, like, clearly jet black dyed hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does. Wow. That's funny. Then they start attacking the one kid. Zach is a cock-a-poo-poo head. Like, I wonder if that kid deserved what he got. Like, was he an asshole in the class, or...
For a second, I thought you were going to say, does that kid deserve what he's getting at home?
Oh, yeah.
So like, oh, shit. Go
yeah,
in there.
There you go. Wow. Maybe, hey, there you go. Maybe he does. No, so he's obviously... he acts different because he's getting the shit kicked out of him by his real man dad, who beats up a fucking 5-year-old.
Yeah, you know...
What a tough guy. When the next thing they do is this fire drill, and, like, the principal berates these kids and Arnold. It's like, how fucking good do you think he's gonna be on his first try? Isn't it, like, his second day there?
Yeah.
He's never done this. She knows he's a cop. Like, honey... Why don't you just go, oh, gee, yeah, so you were really bad. So listen, you really got to start practicing this stuff. You obviously have no idea what you're doing. This is how we do this. We're going to have a teacher come in and help you. No, she berates them on a fucking megaphone in front of the entire fucking student body.
Well, that's like the, like, going back to kind of the point when he gets there, like, she's asking him, like, she knows he's a cop, whatever. And then he's like, she can't, or he can't tell her anything about the case. Like, you can't just... say, like, oh, I'm here to look for someone who might be, like, an important witness in a case, and, like, so that way at least she could, like, throw him a bone, but then she decides to just absolutely just fucking put him through the ringer. It's, like, just a thing with these movies, yeah. Otherwise, it's one of those, you wouldn't have the plot without that kind of thing, I guess, so, but just nitpicking.
Yeah. So, he bumps into Dominic and his mom at a restaurant, because, you know, all O'Hara wants to do is eat dinner, and... So he bumps into her. Arnold's at... Now, this is where Arnold's character makes no sense to me. You think the same guy, I'm the potty pooper, you think that guy is going to act like he did when she asked, do you want to sit with us? He goes, oh, no, yes, no, yeah. And he was all, like, goofy and kind of like a kid again, like with a girl he has a crush on. Do you see that guy being capable of such emotions or behavior?
Not particularly, but if you give the credit to, like, he's really playing the undercover part here. That's how good he is at that job.
He must be amazing. I've never seen a person who has zero people skills be able to behave like he did when he went to Astoria.
Well, then when he comes up with, like, when they're talking at dinner about, like, he comes up with an entire fake pass. Like, on the spot. Like, amazing. Yeah, actually, I really like to, I would say, I know O'Hara's kind of one dimension with, like, the whole, like, food and everything, but I would say I do really like how fucking smart she was. She immediately came up with the sister and the accent thing, but I'm like, imagine you had to play that accent over the course of, like, that 2-hour dinner. You slip up once, the whole fucking thing is done.
Yeah, like, there's no way you'd be 100% locked in every time.
Yeah,
you'd forget at some point.
Yeah.
She sounded more like Dracula than his sister. I was like, I'm sorry, what are you supposed to be? Like, growing up, I never even knew what she was doing. I was like, is she supposed to sound like him? It was really weird. Yeah, how Arnold came up with this line of bullshit at dinner, like, and then I went on to coach girls' basketball team, and then I realized, I'm like, and then she looks like, where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah, oh my God.
So what do we think about the love interest in this movie? Like, just from a aesthetic point of view.
What does that mean? Like, does he go with her?
Like, just looking at her, does she look like a good love interest for him in this movie?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, she's a teacher. Cute, I guess.
Let me simplify it. Is she hot or is she ugly?
She's not ugly.
Right, she's not ugly, but she's not hot.
Okay. Yeah, she's like... I thought for a movie like this, for the way they were building him up, the way he was supposed to look, where all the moms were fawning all over him and shit, I thought they could have got a little bit more attractive woman to play this role, but, you know.
Like who, Miss Farmer? From 3 O'Clock High?
Oh, my God. We'll get there.
Well, at least this one has an upper lip.
Oh my God! Well, the thing, because she's kind of like, I guess it works to her, like she's trying to blend in. Because I'm like, how does this woman ever end up with a guy like Chris to begin with? Like, she has way too much of a head on her shoulders and stuff like that. Like, and I looked up how old she was in this, and this is crazy. She was only like 34, or her character was only supposed to be 34. My bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but like, yeah, she like, I'm like, even that, she like plays this role of this teacher so well. Like, no, that's who she truly is. How does she end up with, I mean, I guess this happens a lot, but how does she end up with a piece of shit like that guy? Like,
right.
So, yeah, it's just, yeah.
Because she went to school for years to be a teacher. It's not like she just got this job.
Right, yeah, she's not just blending in, like, out of nowhere. Like, she's been doing it forever.
She has a whole different lifestyle than Crisp. It's really weird.
Yeah.
So... Arnold goes on to tell the kids this is now police school and there is no bathroom breaks. Like, dude, there is no bathroom. Like, what is he, Apollo Creed? There is no tomorrow.
I was just going to say you need to do a new song. There is no bathroom breaks.
There is no bathroom breaks.
Yeah. The kid actors' reactions, though, are really awesome. Like, they're just so, close-ups of all of them, they're just, like, looking at each other like, what the, like, oh my God, like, this is, like, ugh, it's hilarious.
How great would it if they went real far with this and they, like, put hoses in, like, four of the kids' pants when they were standing there and then they just filled up with urine? So Arnold starts talking about his kid in this movie to these kids. And when I was a kid growing up, to hear him say that his son's name was Alex, I was like, wow, yeah, could you be my daddy? What do you do?
He's a cop, you idiot.
And see, that's what I was talking about. Like, in that scene when the kid says that to him and he's like, no, that's not true. I think he's really good in that scene, like portraying emotion. And they got the nice music playing. And he's good. He's good showcasing that ultimate type of, you know, character that he was not known for before this and Twins.
Well, you haven't seen this much. Did you buy the scene where Crisp shows up at the window and starts shooting the window?
That was fucking intense.
I was like, wow, this movie's getting ready to take a fucking dark turn. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was happening. I don't remember that at all.
That dream sequence still always gets to me, like, when it happens. It just gets so, like, that's what I mean. Like, this movie does really maintain, like, the serious tone throughout, despite it being, like, this, like, light, or quote, lighthearted, big tough guy teaching little kids. But yeah, that dream sequence, like you said, Chris, like, it got fucking intense.
So you bought it, Chris? You thought that was a real scene until he woke up?
Well, no, I don't think I even had enough time to think about that, but it was done well.
Yeah. So O'Hara is fucking her she's fooding her fiance in the bedroom. I don't know what's happening. They walk in. This guy is fucking naked in this children's movie, and she has a plate of pasta. Like, I'm just like, what? And then we got the bumbling, oh, and trying to shake your hand while he's nude.
Yeah, this guy's trope is he just like is just chaos. Like, he just fucking breaks everything he goes near. Like. Always
he's got that sick. He's got that sick hairdo, the horseshoe wrap around with the wisps on top. And he's trying to like.
Yeah, it looks like Steven Seagal if he never addressed anything.
That woman is either puking or eating in every scene she's in this movie.
Or saying the word dinner. Yeah, one of the three things. That's all she does. Imagine reading her scripts every time she got to her part. She's like, ugh, again. I guess that's what I do here. Yeah, he goes to shake hands with Arnold while he's nude, and it's so fucking weird. He has, like, pillows around his asshole and dick. It's like, dude, just get the fuck away from me, please. I don't need to shake your hand. Hello, how are you? And I like how Arnold stays there and talks to them instead of going, I'm sorry, I'll close the door, just come out when you're ready. Like, he stands there and proceeds to engage with them.
And then he puts on her, like, robe, and it just looks even more unnerving.
So bizarre. Everything about the scene is so awkward. So, Zach's bitch mom from Don't Tell Mom Babysitter's Dead tells Arnold that they're getting beaten by accident. She played her hand because she thought that's what where he was going with this. And he's beating both of them. Like, and then I love how Arnold goes, if he does it again, I press charges.
Right.
He didn't know anything, but I loved it, though. They sell, like, drugs to that junkie girl who was identifying Crisp in a fucking crowded flea market. Like, you guys couldn't go between two cars in a parking lot and do this transaction? Like, wow.
There's probably a lot of other seedy shit going on in that place, it looks like.
I guess. It must be just nothing but the element there, so they don't care.
Have you all ever been to a flea market?
Yeah.
Nah.
Oh my god. I was at one when I was a kid. I just felt gross.
I hear like you can get like all sorts of like cool shit though. Like you,
I can't even imagine them these days.
Yeah,
what you can find there. You could probably find the sickest fucking 480p Blu-rays for $50.
Or all the shit that's behind you right now in our camera.
Exactly. That's where I got half of those.
One of my friends, like a while back, like when I was like, I don't know, 15, 16, I had this kid I was friends with. He got like brass knuckles and like a butterfly knife, like shit that you can't get. Well, at least nowadays, you can definitely not buy those online.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they had like those fucking throwing stars and shit that. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you gotta take brass knuckles in case you're gonna fight a little dork in school.
Oh, I can't wait.
O'Hara. Okay, so Dominic's mom lives in this fucking huge ass house, like a mansion almost. So listen to this bullshit story. A friend of hers gave it to her after a divorce, and the agreement was you can stay there in exchange for keeping it up. Is that what happens? Like, people just get divorced and say, fuck it, I'm not gonna make $600,000. Instead, this random friend of mine can just move on in, who is here in hiding or something with her son and no guy. I don't know what's happening. But yeah, just don't burn the place down. And that's a good exchange for not making almost $1 million on my sale.
Well, it's funny too, because it's like, I like keep the place up. The place is beautiful inside. It doesn't need to be kept up. Like,
what do you have to do, vacuum and dust?
Yeah, like, that would be about it.
Right.
That house is insane.
Yeah, like, as long as you dust the shelves, you can live here for
free. Yeah. What a deal.
It's got all these, like, gold, like, statues throughout, and it's, like, super, like, well-furnished. I'm like, I don't... Yeah.
Oh, because if you're in hiding and you don't want anybody to suspect anything about you, that's the place you live in when you make a teacher salary. And that way, nobody will think anything about you.
Yeah, and the cops definitely won't think that that's the spot they're looking for, because you supposedly ran away with $3 million.
It's so stupid.
Teacher, she's not very smart.
Dominic tells Arnold about the bad people. So Arnold sees a bruise on Zach and then punches the shit out of his dad with a body blow. And he looked like Carl Weathers when Arnold was going to the body. And his mouthpiece kept popping out. So the principal saw it. She was appalled. But then when she heard the story, she fell in love with this guy. Like, she just wanted to drop to her. Well, she didn't have to drop to her knees, but she just was in love with Arnold. Yeah, look, she's 4'9".
What did it feel like to hit that son of a bitch?
It felt great.
That's all I needed to hear. So this bitch was sold fentanyl and OD'd, and died. So now Crisp is out of jail because there's no witness. Now we get to Brian Doyle Murray wants to buy his son a race car for his son's birthday, and Crisp offers him four times...
Wait a minute. That's not Brian Doyle Murray.
It looked just like him, dude.
Okay.
Like, what asshole says no? Imagine that thing is worth, like, I don't know, what would it be worth, like $30 back then, and somebody offers you What's 4 times 30? Like $600?
120.
Oh, 120.
Yeah, Alex. 4 times 30 is $600. Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, man. Like, imagine that, and you say no. You could go somewhere else and buy 4 of these things.
Especially since, too, like, he was like, oh, no, my son really wants it. He's been asking for it for ages. So I'm like, how boring is your son's life? Like, think of the fucking toys that were coming out back then.
Right.
And if Crisp offered you, plus that, you could go get him, like, those baller-ass, like, Kenner Aliens action figures. Like, all the cool, like they had
the Ninja Turtle stuff that was coming out.
Exactly, yeah, Ninja Turtles, like, you could have got your son cooler shit than that.
You could have got him a Technodrome, the sewer lair. Instead, yeah. You get him a thing that you just press, pull a trigger. And if he wanted it so bad, why did you wait till the fucking floor model was the only thing left in the store?
I like how the clerk says, this is the last one, let me box it up for you. Then the clerk takes the box, walks over to the cashier and says, can you gift wrap this, please? He never even put the fucking thing. He just gave her the box and says, can you gift wrap this?
Yeah, I'm just selling him the box.
Still in the window.
They confront Rachel. Once they find out Crisp is out of jail, they confront Rachel in the most horrible way humanly possible. These two have no idea how to calmly deliver information to people.
I wrote that down. I was like, this is the worst possible way to do it. Because she's like, no, we have to do this now. I'm like,
we're not who you think we are. What's going on here? I'm a police officer. We know what's going on. What? Just tell us where the money... what the fuck is going... Like, guys, where did you learn to talk to people? Like, why would you not say something nice instead of trying to make it look like, the jig is up, bitch. You're fucked now. We know you have that motherfucking money. Give us the fucking money, bitch. Like, that's basically where they're, like, how they said it in a different way, right? Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I wish you just had a whole side podcast of you just creating your own versions of movies.
Of what really happened.
But the better yet is, can you have the line you just said about the jig is up, bitch, give me the motherfucking money? Can you do that in Arnold's voice instead?
The jig is up, bitch, give us the fucking money. Don't fuck with me, we know you have $3 million of Crisp. Where the fuck, I don't care how nice I was last night, where is it? Fuck all that shit, fuck Dominic, I just pretended to like that little bastard. Where's the fucking money, bitch?
Oh my god.
So... the mom is at the pharmacy loading up on drugs to pump Dominic up with. And then Crisp says, you stuffed that crap down my throat for years and there was never anything wrong with me. And she comes back with the greatest line ever. She goes, that's why there was never anything wrong with me.
Right, yeah.
And he goes, how could you argue with that?
Shit, sorry. I was going to say, after she said that, I was like, well, that makes total fucking sense.
Right, yeah.
That's why nothing was ever wrong.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, buying all that shit, and then she's like, oh, you have shoved all this shit down my throat, and right. I'm like, put it together, like, so is that, like, what do they call it, like, Munchausen by proxy situation? Like,
oh.
she probably was, like, just drugging him his entire life, and that's why he's so reliant and so, like, weirdly close to her, and I'm like, they're just gonna do the same with this poor kid. I'm like, I was like, that's another, like, little dark thing I picked up watching this time.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Wow, that kid's gonna be like Eminem with Munchausen syndrome. Let's just talk about Eminem now that we're off the Halloween 2 thing.
I had written the from the dinner scene to like basically the final act. It's like the lull of the movie. There's like that's where a lot of that back half from basically like an hour, like basically from like an hour like 25 to the end is just like there's a lot of filler shit.
The kid's doing that like thing that Gettysburg Address.
Yeah, like that. A lot of that stuff they could have just get taken away, but pretty solid lull from that dinner scene to basically the end. Yeah, I think that's why there's like not much, like nothing seriously huge to talk about in between that.
Right. Well, let's get to the greatest scene ever when Crisp fucking kicks the shit out of this dude who bought his son that birthday present. I mean, that was Buddy Ravel, boy.
Oh my god.
Ugh.
That was great. He goes, I don't think you understand. He even gave him one last chance to take money.
All right, yeah. And I always thought that he, like, fucking stabbed the guy. And it just, like, was, like, stabbed in broad daylight. But no, I was, like, just... Actually, honestly, what he does probably worse is just bashes the shit out of him on his own car.
when he slams that guy into the car door, that looks completely real. Like, yeah. It looks like he really smacks that motherfucker's head against the door. When you sent that in the text thread, I was rolling, dude. I watched that like 10 times.
It is great. It's always the most disturbing part of the movie for me for some reason.
Because the guy's so innocent. He's clearly a working man, like, and then he just gets the sleazeball, just comes and fucks him up over a fucking $30 toy.
Yeah, so Crisp has the balls to enter the school and risk being seen, which is insane. Arnold pops out from under a pile of kids, which sounds really weird on paper.
Chris's reaction to that is gold. He's like scared.
Oh yeah.
He's like, and he's like, oh, don't worry. He's very good with the children. Like,
yeah. Oh, I'll bet. So Chris smokes his cigar and blows, like I said, kisses his mom with smoke surrounding their heads. Really creepy. Sets fire to the library. Crisp kidnaps him. Dominic says he has no idea how to talk to kids, Crisp, because he says, Dominic, I'm no jerk fireman. I'm your dad.
And he says, look, see, we have the same hand, same kind of hands. Don't you remember? And I was like, same hands.
What does that mean?
They're both white. I mean, like,
they have five fingers.
They're the same hands. Yeah, exactly. Right. What the fuck with the same hands?
Crisp is like, I've been looking for you for 5 long years. I'm like, the kid would have been 1 year old. There's no way he would remember that.
The kid would have no memory of that.
Yeah.
He would hardly remember if you told him that 2 weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
At 5 or 6 years old. You're going to tell me that he knows that one, that you said you have the same hands?
Yeah.
I like how he says he's no jerk fireman. No, I'm a drug dealer. What do you think, I'm some jerk fireman? Like, where are those the benchmark for jerks now? So the mom runs O'Hara over with a car, which is hilarious. It's the one scene she's not talking about dinner, so, or eating. So, she's eating tire, but that's about it. Or eating the hood of a car.
Yeah, that was funny.
That's about it. Yeah, so Chris punches Dominic's mom out in front
fucking
of him.
Smokes her. Jesus Christ.
That's a good way to win the kid over.
Yeah, I have that in my notes. I said he lays her out with the exact same punch that the pimp in Out for Justice smoked Kelly Jo Minter with. And he says, I had to do it. I didn't want to do it. She made me do it.
It immediately justifies
it. She made me do it. Yeah.
Yeah, he justifies it.
What the fuck?
Oh, my God. He's such a gaslighter.
Oh, piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. So what's the plan here? Kidnap him for life? I don't get it. Like, what are you going to do once you get this kid? Do you think we're all just going to forget about everything and you just have him and what?
It's like the weird thing. It's like, what, like, okay, so your ex-wife and kid ran away without you. You have this criminal lifestyle. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Like, you don't have to take care of this kid. She just wants nothing to do with you. You're not going to be making any, like, alimony or, like, child support payments. Like, she just gave you a free ride to just continue living your criminal lifestyle. You could have any woman you want. You could have kids with any other girl, like, whatever. But he's just, yeah, he's just really obsessed with, like, I guess it comes, like, his, like, how everyone's, like, are, like, when people like that, they always focus on, like, they go and fuck around with other people, but there's always that one person that they, like, have to, like, stay controlled to. It's, yeah.
Yeah, he loves his son so much that he holds a gun to his head.
He's my boy. You get your own goddamn family.
Yeah. Not only is the mom running away with his son, but the guy who's been chasing you forever, he is now going to take over this family and raise your kid. He totally cuckled him. Holy shit. Like, what a turn of events, huh? Like, what are the odds that guy is going to raise your child? The ferret bites Crisp's neck. And a great payoff, finally. Somebody knew how to write a fucking movie in these things.
Thank God.
Yeah. Like, God, you guys know this is supposed to happen in all these movies? Arnold gets shot in the foot. He shoots Crisp. He blows him away. He has holes in his fucking chest and stomach. He is dead. Arnold gets shot in the arm from that mom. Then she sees her son dead. Did you guys think she'd have a different kind of reaction? Because that's like her whole world, right?
Yeah, and then and she still wants the grandson too, which is like, I'm like, so what is she gonna do with him? Like, your whole connection to any sort of criminal activity is basically severed without Crisp. It's like, what are you gonna do? You're train this kid to be a fucking scumbag too?
He'll never like you. Why do you want him?
Doesn't even know who you are, especially the way she looks. She just looks evil.
Yeah, she looks like the woman in 101 Dalmatians or something.
Yeah, Cruella de Vil.
So she's about to kill Arnold, and O'Hara hits her with a bat on the arm and stomach. Yeah, that could have been so much cooler. That was pretty lame.
But she hit her over the head.
Yeah, she didn't even hit her over the head. Like, you could have fucking destroyed this woman. So a man was now murdered in your school by the kindergarten teacher. Who you welcome back with zero fucking certificate of teaching or degrees or qualifications of any kind just because you like him. What happened to this teacher that was there for 25 years? Did she just disappear? They fired her or what?
No, she was in the classroom when he came back.
But what is she gone now? Like, is she leaving so he could be the new teacher?
they kick her out just to make a spot for him.
And what's he going to do when the school year's over and all those kids are gone and he doesn't have no ties to anybody anymore? Now he's stuck being a kindergarten teacher.
What about the part where Arnold's in the hospital room and his partner walks in and kisses him on the mouth?
Oh, yeah.
right before her fiance walks in?
Right, yeah.
Maybe I just didn't really pick up on things back then when I was 14, but was it normal to kiss someone else on the mouth if you were not in a semi-sexual relationship?
Yeah, it's the 90s, man.
I guess.
Did you guys listen closely when he walked in the classroom with his leg cast, blows the whistle, and all the kids came running over and he starts yelling, "Don't run into my fucking leg!" Did you guys hear that part?
No.
Must have missed that one.
Missed that one.
That on the Alex edit.
Ah, oh, goddammit, you fucking idiot! Don't you see I'm in the cast? The R-rated version of this movie would have been so much better.
Oh, so he makes out with Dominic's mom in front of the kids and close credits. Yeah, this movie is so weird because it's supposed to... Is this supposed to be a kid's movie? Is it a movie for us or what? Because... With the whore getting drug overdoses, they show her fucking dead body on a table. The sexual stuff, the moms, he left me for a gay guy.
Yeah, it's weird. It's rated PG-13.
I was gonna say, what is this? Is it PG or PG-13?
It's 13. Yeah.
Wow.
Which is crazy for a movie called Kindergarten Cop. Yeah, it's 13.
Arnold claims that cost the movie $25 million.
I don't know about that, but I'm sure it cost it some sales for sure.
There was some mathematical thing where this movie was a real success, and it made a lot of money, but it would have... What's the difference of his life, but...
Yeah, right.
So yeah, this movie falls into a weird category. You don't know what it is.
So, I just looked this up. This movie worldwide grossed $202 million back then.
Oh, wow. No shit.
I'm going to see what that's equivalent to today.
It's like $600 million now. Well, $660. How many druggy losers are we selling fentanyl to out of five, Chris?
Did you say how many what? How many hookers? What'd
you
say?
How many hookers are you selling fentanyl to out of five?
Oh. I gave Death Warrant a 2.5 out of 5, and I definitely like Death Warrant more than this, so I'll give this a 2 out of 5. It's got its moments, but I will never, ever, ever, ever watch this again.
Okay, Ghoul, how many dead hookers are you selling fentanyl to? Is she a hooker? We don't even know that.
Very broad generalization.
Yeah, out of five for this movie.
So this one is like, I grew up with this one a lot, so I have like a big nostalgia thing for it, which plays into it. But it's a pretty solid entry to Arnold's like Q, especially coming off of like the run that he was just on and it being like a completely different genre for him. But he pulls it off, and it's just awesome for what he does for the future. So I think this is like a neat like little peek into that. Yeah, I know there's not much action, but the story points like move forward. Like I said, there's that lull that kind of takes away from the movie. They could have cut a lot of that stuff out just for time's sake. But yeah, it's quotable as hell. It's the funny parts are funny. The kid actors knock it out of the park, and I will give this a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I share that same sentiment. Everything about it. I grew up with this.
Oh, good for you.
It's Chris again's the one guy who just doesn't get it. Just so you know, we are never reviewing another Arnold movie without a fourth person, just so you know. So anyway, we definitely grew up with this. Very quotable, great. Everyone's memorable, great casting. Bad guy was great. Mom was great. Arnold's great. O'Hara I could have done without, whatever, but she was okay. Yeah, just so memorable, so iconic. This movie's used for soundboards, for prank calls. I mean, that is alone something to give it credit for. I'd even go as far as almost say, yeah, I'd say 4 out of 5. I really like it. It's, I bought it on Blu-ray. I'm not buying the 4K, though. That's somewhere I'm not going to go with this. I pretty much upgrade all my Arnold movies to 4K, but I don't think I need to see this in better quality.
Yes, something like this. Yeah. It's a comedy. Like, if you have the Blu-ray, how much better is it going to look if you're
right.
Comedy?
There's no, like, huge set pieces that are, like, going to look any better either, yeah.
Yeah. What, the classroom's going to look better? Like, who cares? So, yeah, I'm good. So, yeah, that was Kindergarten Cop. So, remember, guys, it's okay to play with dolls as long as you're using them to look up girls' dresses. We'll see you next week.